We're under debate. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when Governor Knowles addressed us very early in the session, he asked that we provide a reasonable level of funding and then said, hold him accountable. I think that this supplemental budget that's before us, while it does address many important needs around our state, is short in three areas, in the area of corrections, in the area of the Office of Public Advocacy, and in the public defender. And, Madam Speaker, I find it difficult to understand why we want to undermine the effectiveness of our criminal justice system and our efforts to fight crime by deliberately short funding these very important functions. Who is affected by this decision not to provide for these basic functions? I maintain that the safety of communities is going to be at risk. In the Subcommittee on Corrections, we did have a discussion with the commissioner about the types of actions that will be necessary to make up the remaining shortfall in this budget. And this was even after it was being discussed that the money that was added in Amendment 21 would be included within her budget. And, Madam Speaker, some very serious matters are under discussion. There will not be an academy, and 40 positions have to be held vacant. They're talking about canceling all annual leave through the end of the year for people working now. The correctional industries, it's not known to what extent those programs can continue to function. The only procurement that would be done is absolutely what's necessary to satisfy emergencies. Some layoffs are still going to be necessary. And at that time, the commissioner was leaning toward closing the CRC, the community residential beds, shutting a bunch of those down and furloughing people to home. And on the neighborhood of 155 prisoners getting early release. And, Madam Speaker, I think those are quite sobering actions for us to contemplate. Who will be victims of these people who are out of jail early? Well, we don't know, but certainly it would be hard to avoid the conclusion that we will be insisting that the department assume a much higher level of risk in their management of these offenders. And we have, in our failure to fund the criminal justice system, and specifically the OPA and the public defender, really shorted some of the people who have no other alternatives: abused and neglected children, low-income people who are charged with serious crimes, some of whom could be innocent, low-income people who are being committed to mental institutions and people already in mental institutions who rely on the Office of Public Advocacy for management of their affairs. These are the people that are going to suffer from our failure to provide for adequate legal defense. I think it's just irresponsible, Madam Speaker, that we're not dealing and providing this required constitutional function. In addition, I'm troubled by the priorities that we've set, because while we found the money to scrape together to be able to plow snow and repair some buildings and things of that nature, we haven't been able to provide emergency medical care, dental and eyeglasses for people that have no other alternatives. We haven't been able to find a very small amount of money to keep the foster care review board going. I think these oversights mean that we've really made some errors in how we've set our priorities. How is this going to get fixed? How is it going to get addressed? I think it's our responsibility to do that and to be sure that we have provided enough money to cover the mandatory and important functions for the people in our state. And I don't believe, Madam Speaker, that we've met our responsibility quite yet, although I am encouraged that, you know, we've made some progress today in that direction. And I would respectfully urge the body to rethink our position, particularly on our lack of funding for the OPA and the public defender. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would ask unanimous consent to move back to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
There is objection. The motion before us is to move back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 22.
to speak just...
We are not debating the amendment. We are debating moving back.
Moving back, correct,
you
Madam
have the floor.
Speaker. Correct. You're absolutely right. What, Madam Speaker, what I'm attempting to do in this amendment, and the reason why I think we should move back, is to pay for the passage of House Bill 21, or Amendment 21. And it would be nice if we could come up and take the $609,000 out of the legislative forward funding, a rollover account, versus having to take it out of the general fund. And so that's what we would be doing with amendment number 22.
Motion before us is to return to second for the purpose of addressing a specific amendment.
Could we have very brief at ease?
Brief at ease. Motion before us is to return to second for the purpose of considering a specific amendment, that being amendment number 22. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would respectfully request that members consider going back to second to vote on this. I'm not asking members to vote for the amendment. I'm asking them to at least consider it. It's an amendment that hasn't been brought before us. I don't view it as a frivolous motion at all. I consider it to be very legitimate, and I think that members, either in the minority or majority, from time to time have amendments that they would like to return to second. Just like the majority likes to move up and down the calendar, that can't be accomplished without the consent of the minority. And I think that we've clearly shown to this point that we've tried to be accommodating and to work with the leadership to be accommodating. And even when I was in the majority, Madam Speaker, I always voted to allow members to at least be able to make their case for an amendment, full well knowing they didn't have the votes like maybe the case in this case. But I think that we would serve this body much better if we did give that kind of consideration to all members, regardless of their majority or minority status, to at least allow them to make a brief statement about the amendment and then vote. This is not a delay tactic. It's not a frivolous amendment. The member is concerned about it, and I think just out of courtesy we ought to do that and would request that he be allowed to do so.
Further debate on the issue of returning to second for a specific debate. Representative McLean.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I really would appreciate going back to second reading, and if we can allow the amendment number 22 to be considered in second reading, I believe that it has merit, and I believe that if we're not about to talk about the amendment, well, I really believe that if we're cutting the budget, we should also cut the Legislative Council budget on their per diems, that includes
Representative
us.
McLean, would you keep your comments, please, to the point
yes,
of returning
I will,
to second?
Yes, I will, and that's on going to second reading. Thank you. But I would like to make sure that we do go into second reading because I believe that it has total merits for the whole state of Alaska.
Question being, the question in front of us, shall we return to second for the purpose of adopting amendment number 22? Would members please proceed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 26 nays.
And so the motion to return to second for amendment number 22 has failed. We are back under debate. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The representative from District 15 made some of the same arguments that I was going to make. And since it's late and I'm hungry and I'm sure this bill is going to be reconsidered and I don't want to make the comments again tomorrow, I'm going to hold my comments until reconsideration. I urge members, though, you know, people have asked me whether they should vote for it or against it, and I keep going back and forth because I think that, by golly, in the next campaign, I'll have to say, if I vote for it, I'll have to say I increased the budget. On the other hand, this money is desperately needed by the agencies and by new administration. So with that, I think that the amount that's in here is well justified. In fact, perhaps even some additional amount, but not to be, at least today. So I'd urge members to vote in favor of the supplemental.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 137, Finance, amended House? Members, please proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
36 yeas, 4 nays.
And so the House has adopted committee substitute for House Bill 137, Finance, amended House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 137, Finance, as amended, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thought we almost were going to have a caucus there, Madam Speaker.
Representative Davies.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, I serve notice of reconsideration. My vote.
Reconsideration has been given.
137.
This brings us to the next item on today's calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 20 by Representative Barnes, Grusendorf, Foster, and Mulder relating to unfunded federal mandates in the Conference of the States. The Special Committee on World Trade and State Federal Relations considered the resolution attached to fiscal note and a zero fiscal note recommending do pass Phillips, Williams, Kabina, G. Davis, Mulder, and Barnes. The report was signed by Barnes' chairman. The State Affairs Committee considered the resolution recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 20, State Affairs with the same title, request additional referral to finance, recommending do pass Willis, no recommendation, James, Porter, Green, Ivan, Robinson. The report was signed by James' chairman. The Finance Committee considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 20, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending do pass Hanley, Parnell, Coring, Grusendorf, Kelly, Terrio, Mulder, and Foster. No recommendation, Navarre and Brown. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 20 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute will be adopted.
I have no amendments on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Joint Resolution 20, House Joint Resolution 20 State Affairs be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. Representative.
Can we have a brief adding?
Stand at ease. Order. The motion before us was to advance to third. There was objection. Is the objection maintained? The objection is maintained for advancing to third. Body stand at ease, Mr. Minority. Let's come back to order. Would the House please come back to order? Is the objection still maintained?
Yes.
All right. The motion before us is to advance to third reading. All members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
33 yeas, 6 nays.
And so the advancement of third reading has passed the House. We're in third reading. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Barnes, pardon me. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Joint Resolution 20, State Affairs by the House State Affairs Committee relating to unfunded federal mandates and the Conference of the States.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members of the body, HJR 20 authorizes the State of Alaska to send an official delegation to Conference of the States to be held during 1996. This conference would be the first formal meeting of the states since 1786, 200 years ago. Delegates from all 50 states would debate and vote on an action plan designed to restore the checks and balances between the state and the federal government under the 10th Amendment. While its actions are certainly not binding, this conference would receive national and international attention, and the issues of states' rights under the 10th Amendment would be in the forefront. The conference would occur no later than 9 months after 26 states have adopted and passed such a resolution as the one before you today. A dozen states, including Kentucky, Utah, Arizona, Arkansas, Delaware, Iowa, Missouri, Ohio, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, and Virginia, have already passed such a resolution. Under the terms of the resolution, the governor and two lawmakers from each body would be voting delegates of this conference of the states.
The national initiative is being organized by the Council of State Governments in cooperation with the National Conference of State Legislators and the National Governors Association. And it is also supported by ALEX, the American Legislative Exchange Council. It enjoys support from all political parties, and it is backed by the administration that we have here in Alaska today. I see this as an important step in restoring the checks and balances between the federal government and the states. Madam Speaker, there are those that proclaim far and near that this is a backdoor attempt to call a constitutional convention. Madam Speaker, nothing could be further from the truth, because indeed, it is very clearly laid out how a constitutional convention is called. 2/3 of the states passing resolutions, sending those resolutions to Congress, and Congress then calls a constitutional convention. There is no way that this resolution could degenerate our conference of the states into a backdoor attempt to call a constitutional convention. I have a legal opinion from our legal affairs agency that states that what I have just said is true. Moreover, Madam Speaker, you know I've been here a long time, and it seems to me that most people have always considered me to be a member of the right, perhaps not of the far right. And all of those years, I don't think I have ever ended up on the opposite side of the right before. So it's a bit different for me. But I have certainly been accused of promulgating a resolution that would be a backdoor attempt to call a constitutional convention. Now, Madam Speaker, if I thought that that was in any way true, then certainly I would not have introduced the resolution. And I can't imagine how anyone, by any stretch of the imagination, could read into the document that it is a call for a constitutional convention, knowing fully well the process that is laid out in our United States Constitution under the Fifth Amendment as to how we get to a constitutional convention. I thank you for your attention. If there's questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Further debate, Representative Foster.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say this former speaker is always right.
Further debate, Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to also speak on behalf and in support of this resolution. You know, we as legislators have often talked in these halls and in the floor here about our need to stand up to the federal government and express our viewpoint. And by golly, they're sticking it to us again, and we've got to do something about it. Madam Speaker, this is our opportunity to do just that. We stand to be a huge recipient state of the action taken by this Conference of the States. We can participate and send a message to the federal government that we as a state have a role that's important for our future, and that they need to recognize that we should be determining our future, not the federal government. So, Madam Speaker, I see a tremendous benefit for Alaskans through this conference. I'd also, Madam Speaker, like to commend the sponsor of this legislation. I know that she's taken personal attacks from people on perhaps who've been her friends in the past, and some folks who, surprisingly, in my mind, have come out in opposition to this resolution. In my mind, this is very much a states' rights issue. It's a comprehensive issue that binds conservatives and liberals together within Alaska on a common cause that we as Alaskans need to stand up together. I commend the sponsor of this resolution. She's taken a lot of personal attacks. She's shown integrity and strength to forego those attacks and to continue pushing on because she knows it's the right thing to do. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I urge members to vote for the resolution.
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to go the opposite route. With all due respect to the representative from District 22, which used to be my district, and with her honesty and integrity, I believe what she does in her work. But, Madam Speaker, I have some concerns over the whereases. One is the lines 6 through 8, lines 12 through 14, and be it resolved, lines 18 through 24, and lines on page 3, lines 10 through 14. The reasons that I have concerns is this. Federal government may be the enemy that we consider it to be, but for the native people of Alaskans, it is not. It is not the enemy for native people because they have protected our subsistence rights, and I'm wondering how they would affect subsistence rights within the state of Alaska. And the reason that I wonder is that the wording, and I did express my concern to the representative from District 22 earlier, and I still have a concern for it. Otherwise, I would go for the Conference of the States. If they were no whereases and those be it resolved, saying that federal government is taking over the state of Alaska, and it may, but we have not been responsible enough to pass a constitutional amendment to subsistence. We, as legislature, have not been able to do that, and therefore, that's why I oppose this resolution.
Further debate? Representative Green?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think it goes probably without saying that there are a few in the body that are more conservative than I am. However, I am concerned, not that I want to try and change the attitude or the will of this body. Certainly, I was one of many who submitted a 10th Amendment resolution. My concern is not with what is being attempted, but in the method or perhaps the speed with which we are moving. The concern I have, Madam Speaker, is if there is truly some concern among a lot of people that this may go from what is a convention of states to a constitutional convention, then is there perhaps some justification for more debate on the issue? I know time is of the essence, but it seems to me that we want to be absolutely sure that we don't rush into something that Tricky Bill might have at his sleeve, in that it is not any secret that his attitude toward government is certainly different than most of ours. And so I offer the suggestion that maybe instead of moving quite so fast, that we actually do have some more input on this, if for no other reason than to be sure and with the safeguards that are necessary that this cannot, and I know that certainly the sponsor has indicated there is no possibility, absolutely no possibility, and has legal confirmation that there cannot be a mistake made by the delegation. But I don't want to be considered paranoid. I just want to be sure that we're not moving too fast.
Further debate? Representative Rice.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We've talked about balanced budget amendments on this floor. We've talked about opening ANWR. We've talked about lifting the oil export ban. Hell, we've even talked about welfare reform, and we're going to continue talking about welfare reform and what the federal government will or will not do, health care reform as well. Well, by golly, here's the opportunity where we have to get together with the rest of the states and discuss how these issues are going to impact us. I tell you what, sitting in these chambers and working in this building, tends to make each and every one of us, I don't care who you are, what party affiliation you are, to start to build up natural blinders. You stop remembering what you've done in the past, what's going on, what's your plans for the future. I noticed that in myself, and I've noticed it among many of the people that I've come in to service with. But let me tell you, I participated in a program last fall called the Toll Fellowship Program, sponsored through the Council of State Governments. It was the opportunity to sit down and talk with 35 or 34 other emerging public servants around the nation, and the ability to just to sit down and discuss the issues that are facing Alaska versus the issues from the people from New Mexico, from Colorado, from Nevada, what they're seeing. And I tell you what, there's a lot of common threads and a lot of commonality that everybody at all levels of state government are facing, both administrative, legislative, as well as judicial. Now, We've heard testimony and concern raised that this is going to blow up into a constitutional amendment, constitutional convention. It ain't going to do it. It can't do it. We've had people actually acknowledge the fact that it ain't going to do it and it can't happen. I suggest that if we're really concerned about the issues that we're facing in the future, how it relates with the federal government, that we support this resolution and we participate in this conference, if for no other reason but to break down the blinders that each and every one of us on this floor have, and the parochialism that each and every one of us has. And I would urge everybody's support.
Further debate? Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to vote for this resolution. I'd like to call attention to the members of this body to page 3, line 18 through 24. And this more than adequately protects our state from participating in any kind of a constitutional convention. And I think that that wording definitely protects us. And I think this is a good bill. I'm going to vote for it. Thanks.
Further debate? Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Then I would have a question to the sponsor of the bill that on page 2, lines 18 through 24, are they the ones that are going to be making the decisions on behalf of the legislature on any decision that they have to make as Conference of the States? And then on page 3, lines 10 through 14, what does this really mean, please? I would like some answers.
Representative
Thank you,
Barnes.
Madam Speaker. Would she please state the first reference she asked me to respond
lines
to?
Lines 18 through 24 on page 2.
I think what she was asking, would these people be speaking for her? If any action were taken at this conference, any resolution of any kind, it would have to come back to the legislative bodies of each of the 50 states for a debate. Nothing that was debated on at that conference would be binding on any state. No one would speak for you or any other member of this body.
Further debate? Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We just passed a supplemental budget that's smaller than some folks wanted, and one of the criticisms the legislature always comes in under is our travel budget, and there are those who might look at this as junketing or something like that. I'm just wondering what kind of expense is involved in attending this conference.
Representative Barnes?
And as Speaker, the fiscal note that was prepared and added to this bill by Legislative Affairs was $11,000.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 20, State Affairs? All members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
33 yeas, 7 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 20, State Affairs substitute, has passed the House. Representative McLean.
Her arguments were convincing. Change my nay to yea.
Representative McLean, the vote is over. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
Madam Speaker. Could I serve notice of reconsideration at HGR 20?
Notice of reconsideration has been given. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Joint Resolution number 22 by Representatives Veazey, Ogun, Toohey, James, and Cott. The Special Committee on World Trade and State Federal Relations considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 22, WTR with the same title. Patch 2-0 fiscal notes recommending do pass Williams, Mulder, Phillips, G. Davis, Covina, Barnes. The report was signed by Barnes' chairman. The State Affairs Committee considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Joint Resolution 22, State Affairs with the same title, recommending do pass James Ogan Porter, no recommendation, Willis and Robinson. The report was signed by James, Chairman. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 22 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute will be adopted. Does Quirk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
The House can please come back to order. We had just adopted the State Affairs Committee substitute. There were no amendments. Mr. Majority Leader, will you make the advancement motion?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 22, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection for advancement. Mr. Minority Leader? At ease, Mr. Minority Leader. Please come back to order. Are the objections maintained to advancement? Without objections, we are in third. They are maintained. The bill will be held in third reading for tomorrow's calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There are citations on the calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Do we have any unfinished business? Representative Porter, unfinished business.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would ask, move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive from Judiciary HB 54. This is a bill dealing with the appropriations from the earnings reserve to the permanent fund. It's a bill that's been heard in State Affairs. It would go from me to Finance, where I think it is more properly considered. I've asked all members of the committee, and there are no objections.
And Representative Porter, that was HB 54?
That's correct.
Is there objection? HB 54 has been waived from Judiciary. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following dates. Representative Williams from 2:20 p.m. Friday, March the 10th until 10:06 p.m. plain time Monday, March 13th. Representative Roquefort from 8:30 p.m. Friday, March 10th until 8:48 p.m. plain time Monday, March 13th. Representative James from 6:30 a.m. Friday, March 10th until 6 o'clock p.m. plain time Monday, March 13th. Representative Moses from 9 p.m. Saturday, March 11th until 7 o'clock p.m. plain time Tuesday, March 14th. Representative Hanley from 6:45 p.m. Friday, March 10th until 8:48 p.m. plain time Sunday, March 12th. Representative Foster from 6 o'clock p.m. plain time Thursday, March 9th until 9:30 a.m. plain time Tuesday, March 14th. Representative Nicolai from 6:55 p.m. Monday, March 13th until 9:30 a.m. plain time Monday, March 20th. And Representative Gary Davis from 6:55 p.m. Thursday, March 16th, until 8:48 p.m. plain time Sunday, March 19th. Thank you.
Further unfinished business. This brings us to committee announcements. Are there committee announcements? Representative Greed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Resources Committee will meet on Friday, March 10th, to hear the elusive House Bill 170, which is intensive game management.
Representative Roquefort.
This is to announce that the House Committee on Oil and Gas is rescheduling their hearings tomorrow on the oil reduction to noon from 10 a.m. to noon tomorrow.
Further committee announcements? Representative Ivan?
See, our committee meets tomorrow to hear House Bill 154, regulatory taking of private property, and House Bill 185, municipal property tax exemptions. Thank you.
Further committee announcements? General announcements, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to announce there by day that the following members have been appointed to the Long-Range Fiscal Planning Commission by Speaker Phillips, and they are Judy Brady of Anchorage, the former executive director of, or the executive director of the Alaska Oil and Gas Commission and former commissioner of the Alaska DNR, Bruce Ludwig of Juneau, the business manager and trustee for the Alaska Public Employees Association, Mary Nordale of Fairbanks, an attorney in private practice and former Alaska Commissioner of Revenue, a former trustee of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, and Representative Mike Navarre and Representative Sean Parnell.
Further announcements? This brings us to special orders. There being no special orders, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday, March 9th. Thank you.
We are adjourned until 10 a.m. Thursday.